Om Shanti. Hardly got the answer back. Om Shanti. I have chosen this subject, the significance of festivals, because it is very significant today, as it is Holi, the festival of colors. As all of you know, that Bharat is a land of festivals. There is a saying in India that there are 365 days in a year, but in Bharat we have 366 festivals. Could be even more. That is, maybe even two festivals in one day, or even more. And therefore we say Bharat has very rich culture. As there is diversity in Bharatiya, so much culture there is, as there are so many languages, so many religions, so many different sects and cults and isms and castes and creed, what not, and so many states. Each state in India, there are 29 states in India, has their own way of their festivals. New Year is also celebrated in its own way in every state. You can imagine, so how many festivals there are. And therefore we say it is a country of variety. The amount of languages spoken in India are not spoken in any other country to that extent. Maybe after a few hundred kilometers, even 50 kilometers, the language changes. And those of one state cannot understand the language of the other state. But there is one thing which binds the whole nation, and that is spirituality, we can say. Spirituality is the root of Bharat. And therefore Baba says that Bharat is the world guru in spirituality. People from all over the world come to Bharat for spirituality, which is not there in any other country. And therefore Baba says, even for peace, Bharat will be the lighthouse to give peace to the whole world. Because only through spirituality can there be peace in the world. And therefore, as many of you who have come from different backgrounds may not know that much of Bharat as many people in Bharat would know. But there are also many people in Bharat who don't know that much, although they live here. And therefore Baba tells us so many things about Bharat. There are people in India too who don't believe that Bharat was once upon a time very, very rich. They don't believe, because they have not read in that way. And even if you tell them that there was golden age in Bharat, it was very, very rich, Lakshmi and Narayan ruled here, they don't want to believe. Yeah, there are in Bharat. And therefore it is sometimes very hard to convince them. And also some have read so many scriptures. And in those scriptures there is mention of the devils along with the deities. So when we tell them there was a time when Bharat was heaven and there were no vices, no devils, only deities, they don't want to believe, because in the scriptures it's written otherwise. And therefore Baba says it is more difficult to explain this Gyan to those living in India than to explain to people living abroad, because for them it's something very unique. They never heard of it, they've never read it, and therefore they feel, yes, especially when Baba speaks about double foreigners who have come from different backgrounds, that they are the original Bharatvasis. That is why they're attracted towards Bharat and the festivals of Bharat and so on. So Baba tells us the true meaning of these festivals. Actually, all the festivals have started from the confluence age. And in golden age and silver age, Baba says, there are no festivals in the way they are celebrated now. Actually, every day is a celebration. So there is no need for a special festival for a celebration. In one Murli, Baba said, even birthdays will not be celebrated there. No need. Because the lifespan is so long, what they keep on celebrating every year, no need. Now lifespan is so short, so they don't know how many more years they will live. And also in the Western culture, when they celebrate a birthday, supposing a child is 10 years old and he'll have 10 candles on the cake, and then happy birthday is sung, and then he has to blow out all the candles. That means all the 10 years are gone. The candle is blown out. That means each year one candle goes. That means it's coming closer to death. If somebody is going to live for 50 years, so 10 years of life gone, just 40 years more left. And therefore there should be actually sorrow, no? Because 10 years gone, you extinguish the flame. Extinguishing the flame means those years finished. But in Bharat it's not like that. In India, you know, when we lit any lamps or anything, we never extinguish them, never. It's not a culture to extinguish a flame. Why? Because that flame depicts the soul. And the soul is eternal. It never dies. So where is the question of blowing out the candle or blowing out the flame? It's never blown out. And therefore it stands for eternity. See the difference? Here we talk about the soul, the eternity of the soul, the immortality of the soul. And therefore there's no question of celebrating birthday, because the soul is eternal. But yes, body is perishable, and therefore as many years pass, that many candles, and then blow out the candle. That means that much life is gone. So on the contrary, there should be sorrow, no? That many years gone of life. So in golden age, no birthdays are celebrated. But every day is a day to rejoice. And Baba says every day is a holiday, actually. Every day is a holiday, every day is a holy day. Every day is to make merry, it's not just on one day. Every day is, you eat 56 variety dishes, nothing to worry about. And because they are dancing and singing all the time, they keep themselves very fit and fine and healthy. There is no depression, there is no disheartenment, no mental diseases, no stress, nothing. And therefore no question of ill health too. And therefore Baba says, golden age and silver age is meant for rejoice. But yes, one festival is celebrated on a very grand scale, and that is the coronation of Lakshmi and Narayan. That may be celebrated every year. Yes, because that is of only one day in a year. And that has great significance. Maybe the whole country welcomes that. So that's a different matter altogether. Even in the earlier days, in many traditions, they used to celebrate the coronation day of their king, no? So what must be in golden age? And therefore Baba says, Bharat is having very rich culture. And, well, the deities became Hindus because they lost their values, they forgot the self, they became body conscious, and how some memories remained only, memories in the souls remained. And that's why they started worshipping. They got visions at the beginning of Copper Age, because end of Silver Age and beginning of Copper Age, there was definitely a great turmoil in the world. Just imagine the deities, so elevated beings, such pure beings, they fell from their high stage of purity due to body consciousness. Many people question, why did they fall like that? Why was there a downfall? Why did they come into body consciousness? And Baba gives the answer, because long time being in the body, being with the body, birth, leaving the body, taking another body, leaving the body, taking another body. And because the company of the body was so strong that at the end of Silver Age, the self was forgotten. In Golden Age, soul consciousness was normal. Normal in the sense not that they had to make effort to become soul conscious. It was so natural. And it was remembered more at the time of leaving the body. Baba says in Golden Age, when the ripe age of 150 would come, the soul itself would want to relinquish the body. But it would self want, because although there would be no disease, no problem, nothing in the physical body, but still definitely some wear and tear would be there. And before leaving the body, the soul would have that thought, yes, now it's time to leave the body. And then where the soul will go in the next birth, even that soul gets the experience of. It knows that I will leave this body and then enter a womb, and I'll get the body of a small child, and so on. So the future is also known. In Kali Yuga, there is so much fear of death, so much fear. Why is there fear of death? First of all, there is body consciousness. I will die. And here Baba says, in soul conscious stage, we are not afraid of death. There is no fear of death at all, because I know I never die. I'm eternal, I'm immortal, I'm imperishable. So in Golden Age too, that experience of eternity, immortality, the soul being imperishable is there, and therefore there's no fear of death. But this is a natural state that one has to leave, one has to relinquish the body and get another one. So there is no sorrow. Also Baba says that why there is sorrow here, because there's so much attachment. Attachment not just to the body, but attachment to belongings, attachment to people, attachment to possessions, you know, so much attachment. And death means we have to leave everything. You can't carry it with you, you can't take it with you. And therefore, giving up that attachment is not so easy. And that's remembered at the time of leaving the body, so there's so much sorrow. But then Baba says, in Golden Age, there is no question of attachment. There's no attachment whatsoever. It's just love for everything and everyone. Everything. There's a very beautiful song in Hindi, you know. If you live, live as if everyone is yours and everything is yours. And if you die, then die like nothing is yours. Nothing is yours. So even in living there is happiness, in dying there is happiness too, because we know nothing is mine. There's no attachment. So here there's attachment, and because of attachment all the sorrows. And then the next reason is, there is fear of death here. What will happen to me? Because in the scriptures it is written, you'll become an animal, you'll become this, you'll become that, you'll become that. You know, so many different stories. And therefore people read that and are so frightened. God knows what I'm going to be in my next birth. That I'll become a dog or a pig or an... what will I become? Because it is said that all those different species, they are the fruit of your actions. So if that is the fruit of our actions, that means we reap the sorrow in that. And that means in human life it is just actions, no reaping. But then we tell, no, it's not like that. We reap so much in human life also. And it's not that animal life means reaping only. They are so happy, much more happy than human beings. Human beings have double sorrow, physical as well as mental. Animals, other species, not that much sorrow, mental sorrow isn't there. Because it's not intellectual feeling, it's just instinct, that's all. And therefore we have double sorrow. Animals will never go into depression, you know, all that. Nothing for that. And therefore Baba says in this life, human life, has more suffering because of the mental suffering, which is not, I mean, that much in animals. And therefore Baba says, here there is fear of sorrow. In golden age there is no fear because they know that they are going to take a human form only. They know about the soul. And another reason why there's fear of sorrow is, it's because of all the sinful actions they have committed in life. And just before death, it's like all those sinful actions come in front of us. And we know that we're going to get a punishment for all those sinful actions. And humans only can think in this way. Animals are not going to think in this way. And therefore there's more sorrow at the time of death. Maybe they get physical pain, that's all, that's all. But not like human beings. Because the fear of getting punishment for the sinful actions. And another very important factor is, why there is fear of sorrow? Because the feeling of loneliness. Loneliness. I'll be all alone, I'll go alone. Because that's what mentioned. There won't be caravans with you or horses and elephants with you which will go with you. You'll have to go alone, alone, alone. So that fear of going alone, nobody is going to accompany me, that also creates a lot of sorrow. And therefore when somebody is dying, they remind him of God. Remember God, remember God. Because only God will be with you and no one else. But in golden age again, that fear is not there. Because there is so much love for everyone, and then they know that, yes, we'll meet again. And therefore there's no fear at all. But we all know that all these, whatever is happening in the world, whatever festivals are being celebrated, they are all memorials of the confluence age. So Baba says, which is the greatest festival of all? Because on the basis of that, all other festivals start. Which is the greatest festival? Yes. Which is the greatest festival? Shiv Jayanti. Yes, Shiv Jayanti. So Shiv Jayanti is the greatest festival because all other festivals, they start only after that. Shiv Jayanti, the month of Falgun, that is the last month of the year. And it is the fag end of, the fortnight. And it is just one day before the complete darkness of the moon. The 14th day. And the next day is no moon. And therefore, that is the day when Shiv Baba comes in the world to start the new cycle. So it is like end of one cycle and he comes to start the new cycle. So end of 1 year and the beginning of the next year. So it's like end of winter and just going to be spring. So and immediately after 16 days, Holi comes. Now we just celebrated Shivratri and now it's Holi. And Holi actually is the day when the new year begins. So it's like a celebration. So it's the new year. So from tomorrow onwards, the calendar will start Holi. You know, so I... there are two Indian calendars. One starts from Holi and the other starts from Diwali. Diwali. So Diwali is the time usually when the new year starts, that is especially in Gujarat. The Gujaratis celebrate New Year after Diwali. But that is in only Gujarat. But in other parts of North India, it is after Holi. Because Holi is like spring. So it's like the beginning of the new cycle. It's spring now. The winter is gone and spring has come. There is plentitude, there is beauty everywhere and therefore the whole atmosphere becomes very beautiful. It is the new year. So from tomorrow onwards it will be the new year. So Shiv Baba descends and he starts the new cycle. And it is the end of the old cycle. Therefore, Shivratri, the fag end of ignorance. So Baba as light of knowledge, the sun of knowledge, descends at the fag end of the darkness of Kali Yuga, of ignorance, and starts a bright day. So it's like starting of a new calendar. So what, 15 days in between. Shivratri 16 days because one day before total no moon and Holi is full moon. So tomorrow is Holi and it will be full moon. And today is the day for burning. So burning means burning all the old. And that's what Baba says, burning in Holi. And in India, what today is a day when all what people do, outside their houses they light bonfires. Everywhere you'll find bonfires. If you go in Mount Abu today, you will see tonight all bonfires being lit everywhere. And all the old furniture at home, something old, old wood, anything old, which is not of not no use anymore, all that is put in that bonfire and the people, they go around that bonfire and they rejoice and eat and be merry, you know. So Baba says today is the day of for burning. Burning your old vices, your old your impurities, everything. So tonight we are going to have a bonfire in the courtyard of Pandav Bhavan. So we have a big a big thing from iron and then all the old wood is put in that. And we light it and then we go around and then each one you can bring a slip of paper and write any weakness which you want to say goodbye to today. Bye-bye, today. And put it in the fire. So you write to Baba, Baba, I finished this today, I finished this today. So all the old is gone. So any, it actually stands for that before the real golden age comes, Holi is the day when everything of the old is destroyed. Nothing of Kali Yuga is there in the golden age. And golden age is celebration. So today is the day for burning. And tomorrow is the day for coloring. So Baba says the meaning of Holi. What does Holi signify? Actually there are many stories about Holi. There's one very interesting story about Holi, which I would like to share. It is about, you know, they show different incarnations of Vishnu. incarnations of Vishnu, and there is one incarnation of Vishnu in which half of the body is of a lion and the other half is of a human being. So half lion, half human being. It's called Narsingh Avatar. Incarnation of Narsingh. Lion face and human from the middle. So that's a very interesting story. Who knows the story? Anybody knows? Achha, only a few know. So I'll tell you the story. Well, the story goes that there was a devil. Because there are many stories of devils. And all these devils actually wanted to become God. They wanted to really show that they were God because they had all the powers. But they did a lot of tapasya. And they show that they were all remembering Shiva. And Shiva is considered to be very innocent Lord. So he would be very easily pleased with anyone who would do some intense meditation. So even the devils did a lot of intense meditation. Shiva would be pleased. So there was one devil called Hiranyakashyap. And he did lots of tapasya, remembered Shiva, and Shiva was pleased. And Shiva asked, okay, I'm pleased with you. What type of boon you want from me? Now Hiranyakashyap wanted to become God. So he asked for a boon that God, Shiva, he didn't say I want to become immortal, but he said I want a boon that I should neither die in the daytime nor at night. You know, he put up many conditions. I should not die in the daytime or in the night. I should not die by any animal or by any human being. I should neither die up nor down. You know, all the opposites which are there in this world, whatever. He said, I should not die by that. I should not die by any disease or by any weapon. You know, so I should not die. So all the conditions he put in front of Shiva. And Shiva said, okay, your boon is granted. So he thought that now I have become God because I'm not going to die. There's nothing in this world which can make me die. All the conditions I have taken granted that they are not for me. Because Shiva has granted this boon that I'm not going to die in this way with his opposites. But then he was a devil. So he told all, he was a king. So he told all his people that you have to worship me now. Don't worship any other god. You have to worship me because I am God. But he had a son. His name was Prahlad. He had a son and that son was a devotee of Vishnu. So his son refused to believe him as God. Now just imagine, everyone in the kingdom worshipping him and considering him to be God, but his own son did not want to believe. He said, no, you are not God. God is only one, he is Vishnu, because he was a devotee of Vishnu. You are not God. He refused to accept him. Now, Hiranyakashyap was so egoistic. He said, how can my own son not accept me as a God? So he said, I want him to be killed. I want him to be killed. So how to get him killed? He was taken to the top of the mountain and thrown from there. But still nothing happened to him. Prahlad did not die at all. Whatever ways Hiranyakashyap tried to kill him, but Prahlad did not die. Ultimately he said, now there is only one way out. He had his sister. His sister, her name was Holika. Holika was her name. And she had a special cloth. And that was a blessing from one of the gods which she got. That if she would put that cloth on herself, then she would never be burnt. She would never be burnt. So he said, what I will do, I will make Prahlad sit in her lap, you know. on her lap, and that cloth I will put on top of my sister's head. And I'll light a bonfire. So Prahlad will be burnt, and my sister Holika will not burn because she'll have that cloth on her head or something. There are many stories in this way. Now, Prahlad was the least disturbed. He did not care because God was with him. So the story goes that how when he lit a bonfire, that is the day of today, burning Holika. So he lit a bonfire, and when the fire flames went up, there was also breeze. So what happened, that cloth, it just moved from the head of Holika and fell on Prahlad, who was in the lap. So Prahlad was saved and Holika was burnt. And the memory of that on holy day, what they do is, in every home in India, they, you know, cow dung, they have cow dung, so they make, cow dung is a fuel. So what they do, on cow dung, they light the cow dung and then make a chapati. They roll a chapati and bake it on that cow dung fire. Now, and they tie thread around that chapati, around that chapati, and they roasted on that fire, which is of cow dung. And what happens is, the beauty of that is that the roti gets burnt. The roti gets burnt, but the thread does not burn. The thread does not burn. The thread remains intact. The whole roti gets burnt, becomes black, but the thread is intact. So they say this thread is Prahlad and their roti is Holika. So Holika burns and Prahlad remains eternal. But Baba tells the meaning of this, nothing like Holika and Prahlad in this way. But Holika is the body and Prahlad is the soul. So at the end of this cycle, the destruction, all the bodies will perish and the souls will remain eternal and they will fly back to the soul world. So actually holy stands for the end of the bodies and the eternity of the souls. So the roti gets burnt and the thread does not burn. Now, well, Prahlad was saved. But then Hiranyakashyap was doing so much of terror in his kingdom that people was so afraid of him. They were praying to God now. So God thought, I must do something to get this Hiranyakashyap killed. But he has got a boon from Shiva. So what can be done? Anyway, so he approached, they say Shiv Shankar is same. So he approached Vishnu and said that this Hiranyakashyap should be killed. But how to get him killed? So Vishnu, he thought of an idea. Well, he can be killed in spite of all the boons he has been granted. And the boons were neither by human being nor by animal. So Vishnu dressed, incarnated in the form of half lion and half human being. So neither human being nor animal. So both in one. And then it was neither in the morning nor at night, neither daytime nor at night time. So it was in twilight, you know, evening time when the sun was setting and the night was approaching. So it is neither day nor is it night. So it's like the confluence. And then neither up nor down. So neither up nor down. So Narasimha sat and he put Hiranyakashyap on his lap. So lap means neither up nor down. It is in between. And then neither inside nor outside. So it was near the gate. Neither inside nor outside, on the doorstep. So doorstep is neither inside nor outside. So neither up or down, you know, nowhere. And therefore all the boons were also granted, and this was not granted that half animal, half a human being, neither in nor out, but somewhere in between. All this was not asked for. So something which was not asked for, that was still remaining, which would enable him to be killed. And so now how it started, that Prahlad and Hiranyakashyap had a big quarrel. Hiranyakashyap said, now I am God, I have conquered the world, there is no other God, you have to remember me. But Prahlad said, no, I'm not going to remember you. You are not God. You are a devil, you know, and so on. And then Hiranyakashyap asked him, where is your God? Where is your God? He said, God is everywhere. Now again, the curse, God is everywhere concept. Then Hiranyakashyap asked Prahlad, there was a big pillar, you know, pillar means at the entrance of his palace. So is God in this pillar? He said, yes, God is in this pillar also. And at that time, that pillar broke open, and Narsim Avatar, the incarnation of Vishnu, half lion, half human being, appeared in between at the doorstep. And he sat and put Hiranyakashyap on his lap, and with his fingers, you know, lion has these big, big nails, so no weapons, but with his finger, with his nails, which are worse than any weapon, he ruptured the whole body of Hiranyakashyap, and that is the way he was killed. So this is the story of Holi. This is the story of Hiranyakashyap. So Baba says that how at the end of Kali Yuga, there are so many body conscious people who don't want to believe in God, who don't want to accept God. They think they are God. There's no other God. They have lots of money, they have lots of name and fame and whatnot. So they don't think of another God. They don't think of worshipping God. I remember there was one person, he was arguing with me like anything about God. He said, I'm God. There's no other God at all. I said, but he was a rich man, and very wealthy, prosperous, very big. So he said, I said, but all this what you have, who has given it to you? He said, who has given it to me? Nobody has given it to me. I have earned it myself. But I said, well, it can finish in no time. It can go in 1 second. How long will it take for all this to finish? He said, why should it finish? It is my good karma. I have done, you know, I, he was talking all the time. And then it so happened that his son died, you know, his son died. And that gave him so much sorrow, you know, he couldn't save his son. In spite of all the money he had, but he couldn't save his son. And then, because of that sorrow, somebody told him, go to the Brahma Kumaris again. And he came to the center, and he really was crying like a small child. I said, why? And then he said, now I've realized, yes, God has punished me. God has punished me because I did not want to believe in him. So that these are incidents which happen. But at the end, of course, when there's no other support, they have to take the support of God in spite of having all the ego. Once I remember, you know, I don't know, it must be in your countries also, there was an incident where Ganesh, the statue of Ganesh, it was drinking milk. Who knows of this? Huh? Yeah, not all know. You don't know, Thailand doesn't know. But it was, you know, usually any statue would not drink milk like that. But then, especially on that day, anyone who tried to give milk to the statue of Ganesh, that milk would go inside. And this news spread like fire all over the world. It spread. all the milk in the world must have been exhausted because people were buying milk. Instead of giving to the children, they were giving to the image of Ganesh. Well, then many scientists, they tried to evaluate this. How only on that day that image of Ganesh took milk, on no other day, only that day. What was the significance of it? So nobody knew. The scientists tried to prove that must be there is that made of wood or made of clay or whatever those images were made of, and that accepted the milk. But why only that day, not any other day? They had no answer. Then this question was asked from Baba, Bap Dada, you know. We asked Gulzar Dadi, and Gulzar Dadi brought a message from Baba. That they asked Baba, Baba, what is the significance of this? And Baba said, in the drama, from time to time, there are incidents, there will be incidents too, where people will have to accept God. Will have to accept, although it's like a miracle, but will have to accept. That means no one should ever think that there is no higher source, no one higher in the world. They are everything. So from time to time, these things will happen in the world to prove that God exists. There is someone higher than them, whom they are accountable to. They just can't do anything on their own or whatever they want to do. They are accountable. So this was the message which Baba gave. Anyway, but holy represents the end of the last phase of Kali Yuga or whatever, and golden age comes the next day, that time to rejoice, the day of colors. And Baba says holy has three meanings. Which are those three meanings of holy? One holy is holy. Baba was saying the other day in Hindi, holy also has two meanings. One is holy. Holy means past is past. Holya. Past is past. Forget. It's past. It's finished. Let bygones be bygones. Say past is past. Don't remember the past. Holya. Finished. Gone for good. And therefore, don't remember anymore. Holya. And the second holy means holy. Means I became yours. Holye. Holye. Means I became yours. So it means that I tell Baba, Baba, I have become yours. I surrender to you. So this is the second meaning of holy. So I surrender to you. And third is holy, the English word, which means purity. So Baba says, all three are connected. When you forget the past and say past is past and surrender yourself to Baba, then you become holy. Say past is past, holy. Surrender yourself to Baba and you become pure. So three forms of holy. And that's what we do today. We burn our past, finish all the past, surrender to Baba. Like they say, Prahlad surrendered. Yes. Or Maharshi can say, Hiranyakashyap surrendered. Prahlad became victorious. So surrendering all the vices and surrendering yourself to God and becoming holy. So that's what we are doing today. So today there will be a bonfire and you will be surrendering whatever is in your past to Baba, surrendering mentally and becoming totally holy. Yes, ready for that? Will you write something and then put in the bonfire? You know, many people when they come to Madhuban, I mean even in Madhuban, everyone, we have in Baba's room, outside Baba's room and in Baba's hut, letter to Baba. And Baba says in the Murli that if you have done anything wrong in this life, you write to Baba. So now, many question, how do you write to Baba, in which way, where, what to do? So we say you just write to Baba and put in Baba's, in a letter box, outside Baba's room or inside Baba's hut. the letter to Baba. And then some ask also, can we write questions to Baba? We say, okay, write that also. And really, it's a wonderful thing that even if they write questions, they want an answer from Baba. How will Baba answer? And the next day, their answer is in the Murli. So Baba answers in the Murli. Have you all experienced that? Who has experienced that? Yes, many have experienced that. So it's like, you know, surrendering to Baba, writing to Baba, having that faith in how Baba answers. And the answer will not come in another form. It will come in the Murli. So it's not that Baba is going to answer each one. You write to Baba and Baba will answer through the Murli. And even if you write all about yourself to Baba and then surrender to Baba. And see how you become so light, because you have finished everything, holy, holy. So today is the day and tomorrow is the day to rejoice. It is the starting of the new year. There are two calendars in India. One is called the Vikram's calendar. Baba talks about Vikram calendar. There was a king, Vikramaditya, the one who established the Somnath temple, the temple of Shiva, and he put a Kohinoor diamond in that temple of, you know, Shiva, because diamond is also like oval shape, so to represent Shiva. And so one calendar is based on that, Vikramaditya, so Vikram calendar, and the other calendar is called Shak calendar, Shak, that which is going to start from tomorrow. So in northern India, they start from tomorrow. But Vikram calendar, which starts from Diwali, the next day of Diwali, the new year which they celebrate, the Gujaratis celebrate, they keep saying, Happy New Year, that is after Diwali. So Diwali is on total darkness, you know, no moon. And Holi is full moon. So different calendars, one starting from full moon, the other starting from no moon, and after next day after no moon. So just the first day. So there are different calendars. So based on the moon, these calendars are based on the moon. And in some states in India, the new year is based on the harvest. Like in many countries also, they rejoice when they are cutting the harvest. So India also, in Punjab, in some other places, when they are cutting the harvest is so ripe and it's time to cut, then that is a new year for them. Even in South India, they celebrate when they cut the harvest. So that also is another form of new year. So every state has their own form of new year in this way. But two main calendars, one after no moon and the another one after full moon or on full moon. So that is Holi. So Holi comes and then Baba says that actually Shiv Jayanti, after Shiv Jayanti should be Gita Jayanti. You know, Baba speaks about Gita Jayanti. In India they celebrate Gita Jayanti also. But they don't know the significance. They don't know the meaning why it's called Gita Jayanti, the birth of Gita. And Baba says, when Shiv Baba comes in this world, he starts giving the knowledge of Gita immediately. It's not that Shiv, after many days, Gita Jayanti will come. It comes immediately. And then after that comes Sri Krishna Jayanti. So Sri Krishna Jayanti comes much later. That is in Krishna Jayanti, Sri Krishna Janmashtami, what we call that, comes in August, you know, end of August, September it comes. But before that comes Raksha Bandhan, Rakhi. So Baba says, again, Holi is of Sangam Yug, Raksha Bandhan is of Sangam Yug, Shivratri is of Sangam Yug, Gita Jayanti, Sangam Yug, all Sangam Yug, all confluence age. And Raksha Bandhan again, Baba says, I come and tie Rakhi to all the children. And I take a promise from the children. That children, you become pure. So Baba takes this promise from us. Baba ties Rakhi on our wrist. But then again, there are so many stories wife, sister and brother relationship. It has nothing to do with brother and sister relationship. The sister is meant to tie Rakhi to the brother. Not like that. In the earlier days, it wasn't sister tying Rakhi to the brother. It used to be Lokik Brahmins, you know, who would tie Rakhi to their, the priest would tie Rakhi to their people who used to come to them for worship. So the priests were the main ones who would represent God, and they would tie Rakhi to their people whom they would worship for. I remember even in my house, the priest used to come to our house on Raksha Bandhan day and tie Rakhi on the wrist of everyone. I don't know who you know about it. Who knows about it? They used to do in your house also? Yeah? So never heard of sister tying Rakhi to brother. Never. But why this thing came into existence of sister tying Rakhi to the brother? It has got some historical significance, because history is very important, no? So India has been attacked by so many cultures, so many even religions. They all conquered India, especially the Mughals. And these Mughals who came from Afghanistan, they attacked India and conquered many parts of India, especially in Rajasthan and many other places. They were like terrors, you know, terrors, yeah. What they used to do, they used to fight against the kings and kill the kings and marry the wives. The Rajputs, they were the kings here. Baba says the Silver Age, you know, from Silver Age onwards, the Kshatriyas, the Rajputs, they were called. They were very, very brave warriors. And they were the kings. But when these Mughals came, they conquered these kings. They got the kings killed. But the wives, they would be protected. But in what way? The king would marry the woman, marry the queen, and make her a Muslim. This used to be in such case. And that is why what these queens used to do, they used to become sati. Sati is like, what the wife, she would burn, she would jump on the burning pyre of her dead husband. When the husband would be, the pyre would be lit, she would jump alive on the dead body, on the pyre of her husband, and die with the husband, because she did not want any Mughal king to touch her. There are so many incidents in Rajasthan too, especially in Chittorgarh. Chittorgarh, there is a very big castle type, and there is a very special place called Jauhar, where all these little, these queens, what they did, because their husband died, they came together and lit a very big fire and burned themselves alive. I don't know if you all have seen. Who has been to Chittorgarh? Anyone been? You have been? Did you see that? Huh? Yeah. You have heard of it in Indian history. And so many of them. But then, there is the story of one queen. She was very intelligent. Well, what she did was, she knew that now this king is going to, maybe after her husband was killed, maybe this king will come and then I will be taken to him. What she did was, before the king could do anything else, she wrote a letter. And in that letter, she put a Rakhi. And with the Rakhi, she wrote in the letter that I plead to you to protect my chastity. And I am your sister and you are my brother. I want you to protect me like a brother would protect his sister. So I'm sending this Rakhi to you as a sister sending to a brother, pleading for protection of my purity, or whatever she wrote. And that king was quite touched by that, and he wrote a letter back saying, yes, I will protect you like a brother protecting a sister. So from that day onwards, this Rakhi celebration, Raksha means protection, is because of that incident. And sister ties Rakhi to the brother, asking him for protection. That if there is any problem with the sister, the brother should protect the sister. So started from that historic fact. Actually, before it wasn't nothing to do with protection. In a physical way, nobody can protect anyone anyway, is it not? Because even if the sister tells her brother to protect her physically, how much can a brother protect physically? Well, the spiritual protection can be there, but physical protection is not possible, no? And also if the brother is younger, sister is older, the sister has to protect the brother who is younger. How can the brother protect the sister? Because she is older and he is so young. But still, however old she may be, she will still send the Rakhi to a little brother, as if she is asking him for protection. And if the brother is somewhere else, another country, how can he come to protect the sister anyway? So therefore, scriptures don't write about protection of by a brother to a sister. Nowhere there's mention of brother protecting a sister, any scripture. Actually, because scriptures mention that when a girl is small, it's a father who's supposed to protect her. When she gets married, it's her husband who's supposed to protect her. When she is old, it's her son who's supposed to protect her. So father or husband or son. But nowhere is there mention of brother to protect the sister. So again, this was because of history, this ritual came into existence where a brother, sister ties Rakhi and asks him to protect her. So this is a spiritual protection. And this protection is of the soul. It's Baba who is tying this Rakhi on every soul, and taking a promise from the soul that this soul will become pure. And the soul promises to Baba, Baba, I will lead a pure life. So it's a lot to do with holy, lot to do with protecting the soul rather than protecting the body. So it's the immortality of the soul, eternity of the soul, protection of the soul, and that's what Baba mentions, and that's only at the confluence age. But later on, how these things became, rituals. But in the scriptures, there are stories of protection of a different type. The story goes of Dharamraj. Dharamraj and Dharamrani. Indra and Indrani. Indrani was the wife of Indra, and Dharamrani the wife of Dharamraj. So the stories, there are two stories which are usually mentioned on Raksha Bandhan Day. The story of Indra and Indrani is that Indra was the king of the deities, and the devils attacked Indraprastha, the kingdom of heaven. Devils attacked the kingdom of heaven, and Indra, the king of the deities, lost heaven, and that heaven went into the hands of the devils. The hell. So devils got the kingdom of heaven from Indra. Indra lost. So when Indra lost this kingdom of heaven and it went to the devils, so he was very upset, very upset. So his wife, Indrani, she wanted to console him that, why are you so sad? Why are you so unhappy? You fight back and you can get back your kingdom of heaven from the devils. Why are you so upset? There's no need to. So fight back. But he did not have the courage to fight back against the devils to get back his kingdom. So Indrani, she was very powerful. So what she did, she tied a Rakhi around the wrist of Indra. So wife tying Rakhi around the wrist of Indra, like taking a promise from him that you will go and fight. And this Rakhi is going to protect you. And you will get back your kingdom of heaven. So get this Rakhi tied and go and fight and you'll get your kingdom back. So actually wife tying Rakhi to her husband and giving him that consolation that you will get your kingdom back, and he got the strength because of the Rakhi, he got the strength back to fight against the devils and got back his kingdom of heaven. So that's the story. That is one story of Indra and Indrani. And the second story of Dharamraj and Dharamrani. So the story goes that Dharamrani, the wife of Dharamraj, she used to see how Dharamraj is punishing so many souls for their sinful actions. So she used to feel very sorry for them. That so much punishment they are getting for the sinful action. So once she told Dharamraj that can't there be some way out where the souls are not punished to that extent for their sins? Could there be a way out? And Dharamraj said yes. The way out could be that if a Rakhi is tied round that sinner by a woman, maybe sister or wife, whatever, whoever, and then that Rakhi, with the help of that Rakhi, that person makes some promises, then I make a promise that I will not punish those sinners. You know, some story of this type. And so Dharamrani did, she tied a Rakhi around Dharamraj and took this promise that whoever gets the Rakhi tied will be freed from the punishment of Dharamraj. So easy, no? So easy to be freed from the punishment of Dharamraj. Just get Rakhi tied. And the best one who could tie Rakhi, the sister. Because brother-sister relationship is the purest relationship. Actually, it could be the other way around also. Mother can tie to the son. Sister can tie to the brother. Mother, a daughter can tie to the father also, no? Yes. Because if it's a female tying to a male, that means anyone can tie. So actually Baba says it is a sign of purity. Where the soul gets the Rakhi tied and makes a promise that it will lead a pure life. And once it makes a promise, then that soul is freed from the punishment of Dharamraj. So this is what Baba says. So at the confluence age, we make a promise to Baba, take the strength from Baba and are freed from the punishment of Dharamraj. So that Baba says, you go with respect in Dharamraj Puri at the end, subtle regions, Dharamraj will also respect you and you will go back to Paramdham without any punishment and get your kingdom of heaven back. So we will get our kingdom of heaven back after we make a promise to Baba, win the vices, the heaven comes back to us. So all these are stories and they're all significance of what Baba does at the confluence age. Okay? Om Shanti. Yes, brother Bhavesh, 1 minute. Bhavesh, you know, just 1 minute. Brother Bhavesh is from Leicester and he is a very special soul. And you know, whenever he hears any murli or any class, he prepares a poetry on that. So today he will like to share something. He has unlimited poetry, so many murlis. How many do you have? 50 at the moment. I said, okay, just one today. Yeah? You can sit down. Ve inko mic dena. He's going to read his poetry. Is it a poetry or is it a song? Poetry. So is it from Murli or it's from today's class? Oh, it's from today's class. So from today's class, he has prepared a poetry. Let's see. One minute.
Hello. Om Shanti.
Yeah, loudly.
Baba inspired this one a couple of weeks ago, but So this poem was written a couple of weeks ago based on Baba's Murli, but just listening to Louis speak today, it just reminded me of this particular poem, so I just wanted to share this one. It's called Tying the Knot. Om Shanti. Where you tie the thread, that's where your heart and head are led. Living between two ages, one only traps, cages, the other full of wonderful mages. Now a mage is one that performs magic. Take care that the thread is tied to a world of light. If tied to a cage, there will be rage. This opens new pages of catchment in the story of attachment. Tie the thread of wife to the bringer of life. No need to strife. Have this courage. It's all forage. Now forage means it's free. To be with the highest and high mage frees us from the cage, protects us, removes the rage. Changes iron to gold, so it's easy to mold. So start to hold this thread of the heart, the head, with the one of only love that lives up above. Always in this meat that makes us complete. Keep the company of the one that takes us into the sun, shows the way from night into day, gives the injection that cures all rejection. Into the sacrificial fire, remove all needs and desire. Finally, takes us back home, transformed, as clear as chrome. Tie this knot, you'll never rot. Om Shanti.